Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious subject that I believe we need to listen up and be bold enough to take a stand as Christians. We're looking at the results of rejecting the Christ of Christmas. We've been talking about the plummeting morals and ethics and values in America. We're talking about being lied to by every federal agency, the DOJ, FBI, CIA, et cetera, et cetera. We've been lied to, and the lying is getting more bold and more pervasive as time goes by. And it's because, I believe, it's because of the loss of the grip on society by moral, ethical, Bible-believing people in our nation. And it's as a result of silence from our pulpits. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching war on Christianity. I'm going to read a blurb of this, and then it will take our next caller. The title of this article says, Democrats Waging War on Christianity in America, dated December the 12th. The climate change cult, the anti-racism cult, the cult of wokeness, the LGBTQ club, cult, and its predators, offspring targeting America's children, the transgender cult, the cult of abortion, the COVID cult, the cult of globalism, the TikTok cult. Every month, the list grows and grows and grows. To right-thinking Americans, this article reads, to right-thinking Americans attempting to make sense of a nation seemingly gone mad, it's becoming increasingly clear that the deranged and often demonic left-wing political and cultural movements currently capturing the minds of millions of Americans are nothing short of a full-fledged cult in operation. Meanwhile, the wokeness cult intimidates millions into living in continual fear of saying or writing or thinking the wrong thing, on threat of being shunned, canceled, ostracized from the peer group, and fired from their jobs. The cult of abortion is compared by many to the ancient cult of Moloch because of the uncanny similarity between modern-day abortion and the ubiquitous practice of child sacrifice in the pagan world of yesteryear. Then there's the COVID cult, which has crippled much of American society over the last 3 years while shutting down real churches all over the country during the pandemic. COVID's high priest founded this religious group. Karl Marx, whose ideas lie at the core of much of what today's Democratic Party espouses, famously wrote, "Religion is the opium of the people," also translated as "religion is the opium of the masses." Even though Marx, a professed atheist, detested religion, he ironically was responsible for creating the ultimate false religion, which has indeed served as the opiate of the masses ever since. That's right. whether one calls it Marxism, communism, socialism, or progressivism, or any of today's more exotic terms like wokeism or anti-racism, these labels are appealing because they confer a veneer of transcendent meaning and morality to the left's perverse causes, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's because we have abandoned the Christ of Christmas. The results of rejecting the Christ of Christmas simply means a culture that's out of control, a culture that's under the demand, the domineering domination of every demon spirit in the world. We're watching that today, ladies and gentlemen. So when you wake up and read, watch the television, see the wokeism news, when you turn on the radio, when you listen to the news in any fashion, or read it by way of the internet, and you find all these horrific things taking place, the mass shootings, the murder by way of abortion increasing, the abortion machine being promulgated and pushed more and more, it's because we have rejected the Christ of Christmas. I believe I have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing well. I hope you are.
Doing good. Doing good. Yeah, it's kind of gone a little overboard, hasn't it? A lot of similarities between today in our current administration and Christ's time when Paul was going through Asia Minor there, and particularly whenever he was in Rome, the whole bread and circus thing going on, and people are allowing themselves to be swayed, and they'll listen to anything, and they're forgetting that, well, Timothy 1:7, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes, yes, yes.
People would just have a sound mind. None of this would be occurring. There's a part of me that's sad for it, but there's another part that knows that this has to happen in order for that shout to occur.
Absolutely. We're watching the progression on a rapid scale to that day that the Lord Jesus Christ, with a shout, calls us up to be with Him. It's called the rapture of the church. And we're watching that escalation getting worse and worse in the last days, not better and better. And we're allowing that, by the way, we're allowing that to escalate from the human standpoint because we have forgotten the Christ of Christmas. There is a sense that you cannot talk about Jesus publicly. You cannot pray publicly. You cannot say anything in Jesus' name publicly. It cannot be in the public school arena. You can't have Bibles. In fact, there's some people now that's trying to ban anything that be called Christian books in public libraries. And yet in the public libraries, we're allowing the drag queen shows in the public libraries. We're allowing all of the books by the LGBTQ sodomite agenda to be displayed and ready for kids to read in the public libraries. But somehow anything that's dealing with Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, it's banned. It's not allowed. And so we're watching the exponential progression of what happens to a nation when we've forgotten God. And that's exactly what we've done, Jim. And so all we can do is keep praying, keep looking up, and rejoice in the fact that one day, very soon, in fact, an evangelist of yesteryear put out the little bronze pins to go on the lapel that was in the shape of a little bugle or a trumpet. And down under it said had the words, "Perhaps today." And so that rapture could happen at any moment. There's not another prophetic sign that must take place before Jesus Christ snatches his bride, the church, out of this old world. But, Jim, thank you so much for your call and your insight and your spot-on statements. And I pray that you have a Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir. You have a wonderful and a joyous Christmas there. God bless you and your entire family and everybody listening.
Thank you so much, and God bless you today, Jim. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much. Yeah, God bless you, and may He continue to give the strength and the enabling to continue doing what He would, speaking up as He would have you do, as long as He will have you to do it. I am in full agreement with all that you're saying, that where we are is a consequence of our rejecting God, turning our backs on him. And where we are, it didn't just come overnight. It has been gradually coming over the years. I was thinking that after the media covered up when Obama was trying to become president, the media covered up all that should be known about him, and we actually could say the media gave us Obama. And I know I had a feeling that Obama leave us with the type of CIA and FBI that we end up with. But listening to you this morning, I realized that it is probably far back. You know, it has been coming, gradually creeping, coming on. Nothing is new. We allowed things to be, you know, the people who should be speaking up remain silent. And the evil. No wonder Jesus, in giving the model prayer, to say, just deliver us from evil. And again, I was reading his high priestly prayer. He said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you will deliver them from the evil. So we are in an evil world, really. And I am thinking that we are it didn't come overnight. It has
gradually. You're exactly right, Lily. You're exactly right, Lily. And what we see taking place is trying to erase. It's the progression of trying to erase the Christ of Christmas out of society. And I'll read this quote that makes a good point, I believe. There's a book called Elemental Theology used in Bible colleges and seminaries by Dr. Emory Bancroft. And Dr. Bancroft says this: Jesus is the central figure of the world's history. The world cannot forget him while it remembers history, for it is his story. To leave Jesus out of the world would be like astronomy without stars, be like botany without flowers. That was a statement of back in the 40s by Dr. Emory Bancroft. And I believe that stands true today. And yet we find society trying to eliminate the Christ of Christmas. And we're facing the results of the refusal to allow Christ to be dominant in society today. Lily, I am thankful for your call and for your insight. And I want you to know that we're wishing you a Merry Christmas, a blessed Christmas. And may you and your family be blessed in this season.
I was forgetting my main point. I was telling you that I have been thinking in recent years that the only reason that we have Christmas and Easter, universal holidays that nations all around the globe celebrate, Christmas, Easter, is because I think it's straight from the hand of God. Only God will allow it. And to me, I have been seeing the celebration of Christmas, in spite of where we have it has come to, I've been seeing it as God's way of proclaiming the universal gospel, the gospel that we as believers are supposed to be proclaiming and speaking, God's way of reminding the world, our God-rejecting world, reminding the world that Christmas, in spite of their celebrating Christmas without Christ, many are not able to say that they didn't know the real meaning of Christmas, that the Messiah had come. And Easter, many are not able to say they didn't know the price he paid, the sacrifice he made for our redemption. So it's like God's way is just God allowing until he chooses to, you know, they'll, in spite of how they want to do, get rid of Christmas and celebrate it, God is going to allow it to continue as long as he that many will not be able to say they didn't know that the Christ had come and that he had paid the price, the sacrifice
for redemption. Absolutely. What you're saying is that man stands without excuse. Without excuse. Romans chapter 1 talks about that man stands in a position of being without excuse, because we celebrate the Christmas season, we ought to recognize that Christ is truly the reason for the season. Lily, wishing you and your family a very blessed Merry Christmas, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do in the new year. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
God bless you. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, the results of rejecting Christ of Christmas, the Christ of Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, based on the latest statistics, less than 46% of Americans celebrate Christmas, and they celebrate it based on Jesus Christ's birth. Less than 46% celebrate Christmas as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a holy day rather than a holiday. We as a nation, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, have been absolutely embracing doctrines of demons because we have rejected the Christ of Christmas. The creation story is very, very real. Ladies and gentlemen, God created two genders, male and female. He didn't create 157 different genders as they're claiming today. And yet that is that idea, that mindset, that demonic delusion is being embraced by multitudes, even in our churches today. Ladies and gentlemen, as a nation, we've rejected God. Our rejection of God is not something new. We find that true, ladies and gentlemen, in the scripture. Because when we find in Luke's gospel, the second chapter, the first 20 verses, that when God first entered into the world, the baby Jesus in the manger was rejected. He was birthed in a manger. By the way, a little side footnote, some people ask, why was Jesus birthed in a manger? Why was he born in a manger? And the simple answer is because lambs are born in stables. And Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, according to John chapter 1, verse 29. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, how Christianity lost the Savior. But real truth, it goes on to talk about it because we've rejected truth, said, but real truth doesn't sell. In fact, it usually hurts, but nothing sets one free as much as knowing the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is more than a Savior, He is more than a Savior. He is more than a name on a coin. He is more than someone in whom we trust. Jesus is the incarnation of truth. Apart from Jesus Christ, everything else is simply an opinion, a mere shadow of truth. Truth is not an opinion. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. This feeling, this good feeling theology was popularized by Norman Vincent Peale in The Power of Positive Thinking and handed off to the pseudo-Christian Zig Ziglar and Robert Schuller. And this deadly witch's brew of humanistic Christianity created the wave for the author mega pastors like Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life, and Joel Osteen, Your Best Life Now, to present a sugar-coated, watered-down, sin-free version of the gospel. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we see taking place in America today is as a result of what is emanating from the pulpits across America. And, ladies and gentlemen, we find that the more churches and the pastors give in to the secularized society that's a demonically controlled society, the more that happens, the more we find the repression and the hostility toward Christians and the Christian church. I'm looking at an article that says, reports find hundreds of acts of hostility targeting Christians and Christian churches. A new report from Family Research Council reveals that there were more than 400 acts of hostility against churches in the United States between 2018 and this fall. The attacks occurred in 45 different states and Washington, D.C., and the largest part of those were pro-abortion acts of hostility. There also were acts of vandalism, arson, gun-related incidents, bomb threats, assaults, and interruptions of actual worship services. And the report entitled Hostility Against Churches is on the Rise in America explains, quote, criminal acts of vandalism and destruction on church property are symptomatic of a collapse in the societal reverence and respect for God and worship and religion. In this case, churches and Christianity. Americans appear increasingly comfortable lashing out against church buildings and churches, pointing to a larger societal problem of marginalization of the core Christian beliefs, including those that touch a hot-button issue related to human dignity and sexuality. The Biden administration, the Biden Justice Department, has so far largely ignored these growing attacks on churches, and that is creating an environment of lawlessness across America as we see it today. Christians must not live in fear. We must not be intimidated. We must continue to stand upon the truth of God and defending the freedom of all to live out their faith from the fear that they're subjected to by these violent attacks in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem that we see, we're talking about celebrating Christmas. And as we celebrate Christmas, we need to understand that the results of rejecting the Christ of Christmas is what we're seeing even in this Christmas season. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the answer? In Ezekiel 33:10, Ezekiel asked the question, how should we then live? How should we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to live as we found in the scripture, in the Gospel of Matthew, the 2nd chapter, in verses 1 and following, where it talks about the wise men, the wise men. The scripture talks about in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 2. It says, these wise men were saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Ladies and gentlemen, these wise men, by the way, some people say it were three wise men because of the gifts that were given. There's no number shown. We don't know how many wise men. We just simply know that they're wise. There's a lot that we don't know about these wise men that visited Jesus. We don't know how many there were. Some say it was three because there were three types of gifts. But the Bible doesn't say. We don't know how they got there. We assume it was on camels. We're certain that it wasn't on John Kerry's jet airplane. We're certain it wasn't by Uber or any of the other carriers today. It had to have been by either donkey or camel, or some have even said it might have been the Arabian horses that they were riding. We don't know, but we don't even know the real name of the country that they came from. I've listened to some hypotheticals going forth about it was this country, that country. We don't know, but ladies and gentlemen, we do know that they were wise men, and in their wisdom, they were searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. They searched for the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, and because when they found him, he was approximately 2 years old. We understand that search to find Jesus Christ by these wise men, they were wise, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, because they were searching for Jesus. They were seeking to find Jesus. May I simply make a transition in that thought? As we celebrate Christmas, it is wise, it is the wise person, not the foolish person, the wise person that will search for finding the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the wise person that will make the determination that I want to find the Lord Jesus Christ. They're asking the question in Matthew's Gospel, the 2nd chapter, the question that's being asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Ladies and gentlemen, they were searching for Jesus. And may I say to you today, it's an impossibility this Christmas season to celebrate the Christ of Christmas unless we do that searching and make the determination that Jesus Christ is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one that is called, that is holy, harmless, and undefiled and separate from sinners. He is the one that is had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. And may I say to you, these wise men searching for Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah 7:14, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Ladies and gentlemen, it is found pictured in Luke's Gospel, the 1st chapter, and verses 26 and following, that Mary, a virgin, was espoused to Joseph. They were engaged, and she was found to be with child. She was agitated. She was astonished. She was worried. She was concerned. How can this be, she said, that I know not a man? That is, she's saying, I've never had a sexual relationship with a male. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear in that 35th verse of Luke's Gospel, the 1st chapter, that it is the result of the Holy Spirit of God bringing about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these wise men were wise because they were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. They were wise because they were willing to submit to Jesus. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, in the 2nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the 11th verse, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. ladies and gentlemen, these were considered wise men, the Magi. And ladies and gentlemen, contrary to some fallacious belief out there today, these wise men were simply men that were studiers of the scripture. These wise men, that one writer says the biblical word is Magi, they were students, this writer says, students of scripture, students of the prophecy of the word of God, and students of the stars. Ladies and gentlemen, they were not simply stargazers. They knew the Old Testament text in Numbers, the 24th chapter, where it talked about the Messiah being born, and it would be the star that would give the sign, the signal as to where he is born. And so they're following the star. And they'd done so for 2 years, ladies and gentlemen, according to the scripture, because Jesus was approximately 2 years old. We understand, ladies and gentlemen, these wise men, they had traveled, one theologian said, approximately 300 miles. We don't know that for a fact, but they traveled a long distance. Imagine the difficulty, ladies and gentlemen, in traveling a distance like that. There were no motels. There were no hotels. There were no Burger Kings or McDonald's. And yet they traveled that distance, ladies and gentlemen, without a place to stay, just traveling as vagabonds, if you please. They were traveling either on donkey back or on the backs of camels to get to where they were going. And ladies and gentlemen, they were wise in doing so because they were searching for Yeshua Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ. They found him, and the scripture says when they did, they fell down and worshiped him. That's submission. And so as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate Christmas, may we do so in submitting our lives unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They submitted, these wise men submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. They fell down before him and worshiped him. And ladies and gentlemen, they didn't just search for Jesus and submit to the Lord Jesus, they sacrificed for him. The scripture says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. And ladies and gentlemen, when you study the scripture, in Matthew's gospel, the 2nd chapter, the 11th verse, you find that they presented to Jesus Christ gold and frankincense and myrrh. You study those three elements and you discover they were the most valuable of that era, the most valuable products or things of that day. And they were willing to sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is a time for seeking Jesus. Christmas, as we celebrate Christmas, is a time to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a time that we must be willing to sacrifice of giving our time, our talent, our treasure, and our testimony to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. These wise men were wise because they were willing to sacrifice their time, their money, and their comfort in order to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we can say so glibly, Merry Christmas. We can say that we pray that you have a blessed Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, the Merry Christmas, the blessed Christmas, is to be wise in seeking Jesus and submitting to Jesus and to sacrifice for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I pray that will be the way you celebrate Christmas as we celebrate it. Let's celebrate Christmas by surrendering to Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and Master. There's an old song that is so wonderful, and I'll just give you a couple of words to it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus like a fragrance after the rain. So, ladies and gentlemen, we want to wish for you and your family a Merry Christmas. We want to wish for you a blessed Christmas. And we pray that God will be real through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Have a blessed day. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.